You are listening to engaging and exciting conversation on the Radiant Culture Podcast.
Get ready.
Now. Welcome, everyone. You're listening to the Radiant Culture Podcast. I'm your host, T-Mac. And I'm joined by Brother E today. How you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. Thanks for having me. And for a second there, I thought I was only invited to episodes about relationship problems. So it's good to be here.
We believe you have meaningful contributions about real world issues.
Glory.
Mm-hmm. Is that your contribution?
Glory. Little hand wave right there.
Yes. And we also have Cool Waza in the building.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm well. How are you doing, T-Mac?
Good. You're looking well. Wearing your little shorts, I see.
Yeah, you know, you have to switch
the sun
it up.
Has come out and you're just like, yeah, summer is here.
Oh, relief.
Awesome. Well, talking about the weather, that's actually part of what we'll be talking about today, discussing natural disasters and what they call acts of God. And I think that's probably a good place to start. You know, when you fill out your insurance policy, they always say, we do not cover acts of God. It's got nothing to do with that. Funny thing is, atheists also fill those out. Anyway, it's besides the point. Kuwaza, do you think it's fair to call natural disasters acts of God? Or why are they even called that?
Well, acts of God is a term that insurers love. And it's a term that came from just things that cannot be explained or things that cannot be controlled. Mm-hmm. So God is sovereign, and so it's an act of God. God has done it. That's just the idea behind that.
Yeah.
So even in insurance, they have exclusions. I don't know now with contracts these days, but it used to be a big thing. So they would exclude acts of God in an insurance contract and acts of God. And then they'll give you examples of earthquakes and hailstorms and stuff like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yeah. So are we saying that God is the one who causes what you've just mentioned, earthquakes, floods? Did I just say earthquakes?
Yeah, you said, you definitely said earthquakes.
Just been eating cookies. Forgive me, guys. Earthquakes. Anyway, earthquakes, floods, tsunamis. What did we just have here in Zimbabwe? We had cyclone, Idai, like all those things. Are we saying that God is the orchestrator? He's like waving his hand. I was going to say wand. And like waving his hand over certain places and being like, I feel like putting a cyclone over there. And I think drought over here. Like, is that what it is?
It's not. You can't have a straightforward answer to that question. Because sometimes it's God, sometimes it's not.
Mm-hmm.
There's, I can say three sources of these issues. And one is God himself, then there's the devil, and then there's man-made activities. So if you look at, of course, God, we start with him. When Jonah was running away, it says God sent a storm.
A storm,
And again, when Jonah, I like to call Jonah the climate change prophet because so many climactic events were happening around him. You know, when he was angry after God had pardoned, you know, the people of Nineveh, he was sitting out there and he was very angry with God. And the Bible says God sent an east wind to scorch him, you know, and then made a tree grow out of nothing.
Yeah.
And then immediately sent a worm as well. So those are climatic events that are linked with God, you know, sending the wind, sending a storm. But then man-made in the sense also of man's sin.
Yes. You know?
So David in 2 Samuel 21, after 3.5 years where there's no rain, he goes and asks God, you know, what's happening? Why is there no rain for the past 3.5 years? And God said it's because of Saul, who killed the Gibeonites. There was a covenant between Joshua and the Gibeonites that they were never going to be slaughtered or killed by the Israelites. So Saul went and killed them. And the consequences were reaped by David during his time, you know. So
it was a drought.
You see now. See, the good thing about David, he didn't just say it's climate change or, you know, it's just the weather, it's just gonna, you know, it's a season. He realized, hey, this has gone on too long and let me see God about it. And then God told him. So if he just continued saying, maybe it's climate change, they could have just been scorching and all the time. So that's man made in the sense that man's actions have resulted in that kind of an event. And then you have the devil, where you see Job when God said to Satan, Job is in your hands. one of the servants came and said that your children have been killed because a strong wind came and destroyed the house. Now, think about a house and what kind of wind that had to be, gale force, you know, and Satan was the one who sent it. And it's very interesting, if you look at what God says to Job as well in Job 38:33, he says, "Do you know the laws of heaven so that you're able to cause clouds, you know, to form or lightning, you know, to strike? Do you know where lightning reports to, or the pathway of lightning?" And so Satan has understood some of those laws. And there are people that have understood the laws of heaven. So you have people from certain places in our country, places like Chipinge.
Oh, here we
where
go.
You hear, you hear about a guy who say, "Hey, just choose one tree for me here." Because the guy took his lightning-making paraphernalia. I said, I'm done with this," to the police. "Can you take this away?" And the guys were like, "You know, you're making all sorts of jokes here. Maybe you're wasting our time." And he said, "Okay, just choose one tree and I'll strike it for you with lightning." So, you know, there's guys who have learned the laws of heaven, and they know how to manipulate those laws to cause climactic events to happen. I know of situations where witches have held all sorts of, what can you call them, assemblies.
Rituals.
Rituals, yes. Yeah. And then just to stop rain from falling. So it's so important to realize that all these events have different sources, different, and sometimes we're not told what the source is. Like when Jesus calmed the storm, it was a storm. Where did the storm come from? Was it God? Was it Satan? What was it? You know, or just a season? But you know, he didn't look for that and ask questions. He just said, "Hey, storm, be still." Yeah. So, in short, many places where these things could come from.
I wanted to ask, when we see these different weather phenomenon, do they only reflect God's judgment, or does God also use them as a means of just communicating to us that He exists?
Yeah, it's an interesting question you ask, because at times when you look at God and He speaks of Himself as having, even if you look at creation at the very beginning, that He separated the waters, right, in the heavens. So there is an aspect to which God controls climate, and He uses climatic events to judge, but also, yes, to show Himself to be God. I mean, there's a time when Samuel was speaking to the people of Israel and saying, "You guys have sinned against God in asking for a king," and He tells them what kind of king they're going to have. And then He says, just to show you a sign of just how, you know, that what I'm saying to you is not man's word, but the truth. He said, "Right now, it's just going to rain out of nowhere." And it was blue sky and started raining right there, you know. So everyone was like, "Oh, we're so sorry." But it was too late to reverse it.
Yeah.
So God does judge, but also shows Himself to be God through climatic events.
I think as modern Christians, again, some of these references in the Bible can give us an opportunity to look at the grace of God, because He's also used them as reminders of how much He's loved us. And we look at one of the earliest weather phenomenon, which is mentioned in the Bible, which is the rainbow.
You
know, and that came at a time when God Himself repented of destroying or doing what He had done ever again, which was the flood. And, you know, I think of...
So many trolls are going to come for you. Like, "God does not repent."
Well,
KJV language.
which is my favorite version. So, you know, I'm also thinking of because I just want to look at the positive side of it, and how, you know, act of God and disaster and all of these things, sometimes they just spell out doom and gloom, and I like to think of the positive side, you know, of you know, the same God who used you know, a cloud and also a pillar of fire to guide the children of Israel. You know, and those are signs, you know, just in the same way that the same different weather, you know, phenomenon or elements were used to punish the Egyptians when they wouldn't let the people go. You know, they were used as a source of salvation for the children of Israel. And I think it's important to look at that as well, you know, to look at the positive spin of what these things can mean for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I like that you talk about the pillar of fire and the cloud. Because they weren't just signs. They were actually like, you know, like the desert climate, during the day it's very hot, mm-hmm. and at night it's extremely cold. So they were extremes.
Yeah.
So during the day there was a cloud to shield them from the sun, actually, and to keep them cool. Mm. Yeah. And at night, the pillar of fire was actually to warm them as well. So it wasn't just a sign, but it was God taking care of his people. So that's a powerful. Very important point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that it's not just one way, you know, where God destroys, or God is punishing, God is angry, but also that there's a positive side to it as well.
Mm. So I know some of these happenings can be explained by science.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the movement of tectonic plates and whatever, weather patterns, I don't know the science of it. I'm not that well versed, but I know that there's people with explanations.
Yeah.
So if it can be explained away by science,
mm-hmm.
can you actually say that these are signs of the end times, or this is just how the world is naturally evolving?
That's, I'm going to use a word that I fear, evolving. Oh, man. It's one of those very difficult ones, I must say, because the Bible does predict, you know, Jesus did say that famines are going to come, earthquakes in different places. So when you see them increasing, it could be a sign of the end times. I am loath to use them as a sign of the end times, because Jesus could come at any time.
Yeah. You
know? So he could have come at a time. Well, it could have come at a time everyone was expecting him to come, but it wasn't accompanied by a lot of famine and earthquake and necessarily like an increase in the birth pains. So he did say it's going to come. So when we see it, there's an attitude towards it that we should have. He says that, you know, lift up your heads because your redemption draws near.
Mm.
So yes, on one hand. On another, Satan is also operating.
Yeah.
And doing all sorts of things. And we need to be able, as Christians, to discern, to say, if this is Satan, we take our stand. Because the Bible says that we must resist the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And part of resisting the devil is taking our stand and saying we're going to pray for rain, for example.
Yeah.
If the drought is inspired by demonic activity,
mm-hmm.
Or there's cyclones coming. I know people that have stood on the shore and there's a tornado coming inland,
mm-hmm.
and they've held hands and prayed against it. And it just dies, you know, in the sea. Yeah, so many of those kind of stories, you know. So you have to just realize it's not all doom and Jesus said this coming, so fine, you know.
Yeah, because we're kind of like, we need to just accept it, because he did say that they were coming.
They will come. There's some things that we can't do anything about, but there are others that we can. And that's why we need to have our relationship with God is so important. And you know, we don't understand, I think, just how much sway, I think that's the word to use, we have with God and with these events, these climatic events, because not much teaching goes on about them.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just nature. It's just the way things are. And part of that thing of being steeped in science,
mm-hmm.
because science has explained and science has said, I believe that the climate change outcry, or the way that it is being driven, is actually quite dangerous, in the sense that the things that are supposed to point to the coming of Christ are being explained away as it's science.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's because of gases in the atmosphere, you know.
But I mean, even with that, because climate change, as far as I see it, or global warming, is something that has happened as a result of man doing his thing, whether it's, you know, the gases or whatever. I mean, they didn't come from nowhere. So it's from us and our activities.
Yeah.
So could you say that, in a way, it's our own sinful management of the resources that's leading to the climate change, and therefore it is, in a way, a form of judgment, because it's like we're reaping what we are sowing.
Yes. You see, the thing with climate change is that it's the only one that science can see, because you got all this stuff that you can say, right, there's this amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere and so on.
Mm.
But there's another level of human activity that affects the land.
Mm-hmm.
And affects the climate, that people will not, or science will not be able to tell you the causal direction or the cause and effect. So, for example, God says to the people of Israel, if you mess up, I think it's in Leviticus 28, where it says that the land will vomit you. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's very interesting how God says it.
Hello.
It's not, I'm going to put you out of the land. The land itself is going to be revolted and is going to vomit you out you know, because of your inhabitants. And then so many places where it talks about the land is desolate because of its inhabitants, mm-hmm. because of the increase of wickedness. Mm-hmm. In Isaiah 24 to 5 and 6 says, they've broken the everlasting covenant, they've broken all my laws, and so the land is going to languish. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be mourning for the land, and yeah. it's not going to be productive. Yeah. Look at the very first instance where man sinned, and God was speaking to Adam. He actually judged the work of his hands and said, the land is going to produce thorns and thistles for you. Mm. So there's no carbon dioxide there, you know, no toxic gases, no CFCs or anything like that. It's just the increase of wickedness, you know, on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
Just how gay marriage and gay relationships are now becoming the norm, mm. and laws that are passed allowing that, things like abortion, all that kind of thing.
Mm.
You know, the Bible says that bloodshed pollutes the land.
It's interesting that you should say that, because yeah. right now, I mean, I haven't been alive that long, but it's the first time maybe I'm noticing that much murder and violence
yeah.
happening in our own country.
Yes.
Mm. Like, I'm sure it was always there. Maybe social media has made a difference in terms of how much we get to hear about it. But yeah. I just feel like it's on
increased.
Levels.
Yeah. Yeah, it's increased.
And
actually.
Perhaps, would it be fair to say that there could likely be a link between that and our famine?
Absolutely. I mean, when you know, the Bible says that the blood of Abel was crying out from the ground
mm.
against Cain. And then if you look at what God said to Cain, that you're going to wander, you know, you're going to be a wanderer. I'm going to put a sign on you so no one kills you, but you're just going to be going around. You're going to be a vagabond
mm-hmm.
because of what you did. There is, you know, a result, or there is a consequence.
Yeah.
But it's very difficult to draw the line, because you can say, but in the US of A, there's all sorts of things that
there's
happen.
Gun violence.
But the economy, the economy is going so mm-hmm. great. Yeah. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, no one is really starving like us. So can we really, we never really know how it works in different places.
Mm. Yeah.
So there is a link, because the Bible tells us that there is that link. We see examples of that mm. link, you know, where God says again to the people of Israel, I'm kicking you out of the land mm. so that the land enjoys its Sabbaths, because mm. they're supposed to allow the land to lie fallow, but they didn't do that.
Mm.
And so it said the land is not enjoying its Sabbaths, so I'm kicking you out so that the land can have 70 years, which you guys,
years.
Yeah, the 70 years yeah. that they're in exile. It was because of the Sabbath that they did not allow the land, you know, to enjoy.
Mm.
There is a link. We just don't know exactly what the link is.
Yeah, it's hard to exactly connect the dots.
Yeah, unless God, you know, reveals by His Spirit, this is happening because of the level of bloodshed. And I know people who have prophesied and said things like, you know, God said to me, and of course that all has to be weighed and tested. You know what to do in prophecy. But that's the way that we have the revelation, like David did, you know. This drought is not because of climate change, it's because someone killed somebody that he was not supposed to kill.
Yeah.
And something has to be done for restitution.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to make the reference of Hurricane Katrina, and the area that it affected mostly was I think it was St. Louis, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And you have all sorts of strange pagan traditions there, like your Mardi Gras, mm-hmm. which is like a week of sin or something.
Yeah.
And a lot of people who are conservative Christians were quick to say it's because of that those kinds of pagan cultures that area was affected.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to point fingers and say this is a sign of God's wrath. I guess my question, or where I want to steer the discussion, is how can we as young Christians determine whether an act of God is a reflection of Him punishing us, or if it's Him showing us something, or taking us away from something, or one of those other things that we've talked about earlier?
Look, what I'm finding more and more when I hear these kind of things is your theology will determine how you see things. It's a lens through which you see everything.
Mm.
So if God is a God of wrath, He's angry, you do good, you get good, you do bad, you get bad, you know, like old covenant God, then you're always going to see those kind of things as judgment.
Mm.
Yeah, it's because God is judging, you know. But if you're a grace-minded person and you see things through the lens of grace, you know, you have to ask yourself, you know, Jesus came and said, everything you see me doing, I only do what the Father shows me. And you never see Him bringing a storm on anybody, you don't see Him cursing anyone, you don't see Him saying, those guys didn't accept me. In fact, His disciples said, should we call down fire from heaven because these guys have rejected us? You know, and Jesus says, well, you don't know what spirit you're of, you know, and actually rebukes them. and says, no, leave them alone, and off they go. So, you know, it's all about the way you see God. I remember there's a time I saw something very interesting in Exodus 24, verse 15 to about 18, where it says that Moses went up into the mountain, Mount Sinai, and it was a cloud, right?
Yeah.
But if you look at verse 18, it says, the people at the base of the mountain saw a raging fire.
Wow.
You know, so it was a cloud.
Yeah.
And Moses entered the cloud. But what the people saw at the base of the mountain was
a raging fire.
So I believe the closer you are to God and the more, you know, proximity there is to God, you truly understand his nature. Mm. But if you're further away from God and you see him in the Old Testament lens as a distant God and far away God, he's a God of fire, wrath, fury, anger. And that's one picture, two different, you know, perspectives. So I'd say that about people who quickly then judge and say, this is it. I'd say, in the absence of God actually speaking and saying, this is my judgment, do not make that kind of a conclusion. Mm. You know, always look to say, okay, how can we bring redemption to the situation? So if it's a storm, pray that the storm can, you know, be shortened. Go in there, preach the gospel, and tell people that, guys, this is a microcosm of what's going to happen in the end time. Because even though we don't know if it's God or not, but what I can tell you is that there's going to be a time when everything you see is going to disappear with a roar into fire. You know, and you want to be standing on the right side and that sort of thing. So we can use it to preach the gospel, but I don't think that we should be too quick to, you know, to say this is judgment from God. Because, you know, God is in the business of reconciling the world to himself.
Yeah.
As opposed to raining coals of fire upon them. Yeah.
Okay. But and on that point, I actually thinking back to Cyclone Idai in Zim, there was a unifying, I feel, of the whole country, like east to west, north to south, everyone coming to the aid of the people in that area. Whether the aid reached them or not is a separate issue. But, I mean, you saw that outpouring of love and a unity and a connectedness within the nation.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe that's one other thing that tends to come out of these natural disasters that happen. I remember when I was in junior school and there was Cyclone Eileen, and we were being told to bring canned foods to school to make sure that they were sent to those people. And I feel like it's always just for that moment, and then we forget about it afterwards. When was the last time you actually prayed for the people in Chimanimani? Personally, not in a while.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think maybe we should also remind ourselves to not let that outpouring of generosity just be a momentary thing.
Yeah, true. It's a unifying moment, but also a moment of reminding each other that, you know, there's, we are not in control. You know, when you look at some of those gale force winds that happen in some of those places, like, you know, even in the States, when a tornado is coming in inland and you see cars being lifted up, picked up by wind, and it's like, you know, like someone's just picked it up with their hand. And you think about, I saw one where there was a 45-wheeler, you know, just in a twister being, 45-wheeler. And it's just a reminder that of how small you are as human beings. Because, you know, as human beings, with some of the exploits that we've done as a, you know, as a people in general, we are able to go to space. You know, we have gone to the moon. We are able to transmit information through light and all that kind of thing. You can begin to think of yourself bigger than you actually are. And you realize, okay, you got all these power cables and power levers, but, you know, you have a place in the States where they've not had power for 15 days or whatever. And it's not because of bad governance. Where did you guys put the money? You're all corrupt. There was a cyclone and it washed away all your infrastructure. No questions asked and you could do nothing about it. And I think it's so important because it gives us that sense of humility of something greater than ourselves. And we can come in and preach the something or someone. Like, you know, Paul did. You know, he said, I see an altar to an unknown God. Let me tell you about this unknown God, you know. We can do the same with these kind of events. That they are showing us that we are, in and of ourselves, not adequate to watch ourselves, for out for ourselves, but there's someone else who can. And then you preach from there.
And I just want to touch on, I know it's not necessarily a natural disaster. Actually, I don't know. Something like the coronavirus.
I was actually going to take it there and say, you've got everything happening with the coronavirus, and then you mentioned the frequency of these acts of God, even here in Africa, where they didn't take place as much. are these the signs that we're told to look out for towards that part of, you know, scripture?
Well, it's interesting. The coronavirus, one of our local prophets...
Too humble.
Yeah. One of our local prophets prophesied about it 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And
what did
he said that there's a disease that's going to come up out of Southeast Asia.
Oh.
And it's going to be incurable and it's going to spread very fast. And it's one of the signs that we're in the end times. That's what he said.
Yeah. Wow.
So okay. About 2 or 3 years ago. So it happened, and I only got to realize that they did prophesy because they did a video showing when they did say it before it happened.
Wow.
So, but did it come from God? I wouldn't. You see, because if someone predicts something, right, there's going to be famine. They're not predicting the cause. They're telling you what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And so... the coronavirus, I would say we treat it like any other disease. You know, it's the thief that comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. But he has come that we may have life and have life in its abundance. So we always see it as either it's Adam's sin or it's, you know, the devil doing what he's doing. Mm. It's just not that it's God who's sending or wasting disease on the people in general. I heard someone recently talk about how because of Christians' persecution in China, they're persecuted so much.
Mm-hmm.
And they felt like... and they were preaching in the direction that coronavirus was God's judgment on China.
China's persecution.
Because they persecute Christians.
Wow.
And I listened to that and I said to myself, you know, I'm not sure about that.
Hmm.
Because there's one time in Luke, is it Luke 13? It should be Luke 13. Where some guys went to Jesus and said and told him about some Jews whose blood had been mixed with the sacrifices by Pilate, by the Roman guys.
Mm.
And Jesus said, do you think these guys are worse sinners because they suffered in this way? But unless you also repent, you too will perish.
Mm.
So it's not so much the fact that we look at the severity of what people are going through and then conclude it's because they're bad sinners. Mm. China, they're persecuting Christians.
Yeah.
We have our issues with the small houses and stuff, but we don't, you know, we respect Christians. You know, we don't persecute Christians. You know, that kind of thing. So, so they are worse sinners than us, and that's why coronavirus is coming their way. Mm. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah. You know,
it doesn't work like that. So it's a disease that's come. What do? We pray against it. We protect ourselves against it. We do everything we can. We preach in the midst of it. Because, you know, these are the last days. And guys, look at all this stuff that's happening. Again, the urgency of it. We're doing what we've already been doing anyway, whether corona had come or not. You still have to preach the gospel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a good takeaway. So maybe with that we can close. And you can just let us know what you think people should be praying for right now in Zimbabwe, in light of all the violence, in light of all the natural phenomena that we're dealing with.
Yeah.
What do you think are prayer points that people should have at the moment?
Prayer points.
And maybe how to pray for them? Not necessarily to be like, or pray for people. Bind the weather.
Binding the weather.
It's too cold.
Climate.
I feel like bind this rain.
Yes.
No, we need the rain.
We need the rain.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think firstly is to have that realization that we're living in the end times, and that is true ever since Jesus went to heaven. It's always been the end times. You know, Jesus has always been coming back ever since he went.
Yeah.
So we are in that end time space. And realizing that these events will happen. But we as Christians on earth, as long as we are here on earth, we have the capacity to reduce the suffering through our prayers to God. So some of these things we will be shown in advance. We have it in our capacity. The more we deepen our relationship with God, to ask him, is this the kind of thing that we should be praying against to stop?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you remember what Joseph said, he said that a famine is coming and the doubling of the dream of Pharaoh meant that God's, and the thing is fixed and it cannot be changed. So what we need to do now is make sure that we are putting food away so that when the drought comes, we got something, you know. So there's stuff that you can shift and things that you can't.
Mm-hmm.
The things that you can't, have the wisdom and say, hey guys, so what can we do? Advise as a church those that are in position to be able to do something about it, and we pray that God, there may be no loss of life or reduction of the loss of life. I think that's the best way that we can do that.
Mm.
Right now, praying for our country is to have, I would say, the most important thing, and I've been reflecting on it a bit, is not that we have more Christians in Zimbabwe, but that we have God-fearing Christians. I believe the fear of God is what we are lacking. We're not lacking bums on seats, you know. We've got mega churches, people in their thousands on a Sunday, some, you know, even midweek. But from that to translate to our behavior, translate to actually living the life that God has called us, we need the fear of God, where people can feel like, the stuff I'm doing, I cannot be a Christian and be doing what I'm doing right now. I cannot be taking money from under the table. And this is some of the stuff, you know, actually affects the climate stuff and all that, all these things that we're talking about, droughts and all that. And I believe that if the more that we are like that as Christians, the more that we are people that walk in the fear of God, then the more you'll see, you know, a turnaround into the things that we desire. So I would say we pray that we become more, you know, people who fear God you know, more, and then that will help us to try and walk, you know, the way that Christ requires of us to walk.
Yeah. I like that.
I like that too, yeah.
Thank you, Kulwaza, for bringing some balance to that discussion.
My pleasure.
Yeah, we will pray on those points. I hope we all remember to pray for the people in Chimanimani as well, and all the areas that were affected by Cyclone Idai as well. And yeah, let's do our part where we can, how we can, however we can. Awesome. Peace. We'll see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Radiant Culture Podcast. If you want to make a contribution, make a suggestion, or have a request, you can get in touch with us via email on radiant@thehub.co.zw or inbox us on Facebook and Twitter. Look out for the next episode and remember to share this one with everybody you know. God bless.
It's hot, it's fresh, it's uncut. #RealTalk on the Radiant Culture Podcast.